Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
If you turn in your Bible to Psalm 84, we'll begin there this morning. Psalm 84, come to the word of God and just very excited about what God is doing amongst us. And just really aware that God is moving, and we're not sort of trying to make things happen, but that God is moving, and really we're just wanting to cooperate with what he is doing. It's always important that we tune in and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And on Thursday night, we were speaking a little bit from this scripture, from Psalm 84, and for the first time in quite a few years, actually, I maintain that every day I am called to feel to live in joy, because that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life. When God's in your life, it's supposed to be a supernaturally joy-filled life. We're not called to export misery, but filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. But on Thursday night, I actually got the laughter joy. Well, and I was trying to sort of close my mouth up here, and I was on my face here. Started to laugh. And I remember that move of the Holy Spirit that brought a real refreshing of joy in the body of Christ quite a few years ago now. And I remember receiving that anointing and that grace when I was in America, working in America, ministering in a church in America. And let me tell you, I needed joy because everything around me was misery. And so God gave me just such a gift of laughter in that season that was supernatural, that carried me through that time. And it seemed to be that I found most things very funny. And I would even laugh at myself. And when the enemy tried to do something, I'd just go, ha, nothing for God. Hee-hee. Which is true. The Lord sits in the heavens and laughs. Did you know that God actually laughs? And we've been created in his image to laugh. And Psalm says their tongues will be filled with laughter, their mouths filled with joy. And so I actually believe we need a kind of revival of joy constantly, a renewal all the time in God, to be the happiest people on the earth and to see that joy spilling out and changing people around us. And so I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to move today. Maybe raucous laughter might happen, but it might not. But I know that quite a few people that were here on Thursday night really got that release of joy. And God wants to do that for all of us, so that whatever is troubling us, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to laugh in the trouble. What a vision. Isn't that a great vision? So Psalm 84 begins with, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. It begins really with this desire to worship, to enter the presence of God, and to come into God's actual presence, to minister before him, to experience the joy of his presence. And this person is saying, I'm that hungry for God, even my body is crying out for the Lord. And that is something that I believe we've been created for. Every human being has been created for the presence of God. We were called to know God personally through Jesus Christ. But we've all been created to walk with God and experience his presence every day of our lives. But I believe that those who are hungry and desire his presence actually experience his presence. James tells us that those who draw near to God, even believers, he will draw near to them. And so there is this this kind of two-step going on. What a dance. We draw near to God and he draws near to us. I like that. And then I draw near to God and he draws near to me. And that we become up close and personal, because that's how we're to live life together. And worship and praise is really important, and it's so important that we personally enter the presence of God on a daily basis. We come into his presence and worship him and praise him. And that we as God's people meet together to worship and sing our praises as we have this morning. Declare how great he is. It's vital. It's part of a saved life. This is the saved life, that we are worshippers who love God and love his presence. How lovely is your dwelling place. God dwells in the church. The church is the dwelling place of God today in the Spirit. How lovely you are amongst us, Lord. Where is dwelling place? So, you know, this is a lovely place. He beautifies the humble with salvation. And then the scripture goes on about the sparrow finding a home. And I think the psalmist is jealous that the sparrow can just kind of go into the temple at any time and sneak through. Because, you know, in the Old Testament, David and all the others had to work with the old temple, the tabernacle. And there was restrictions in the holy place and the most holy place. But today in Christ, the veil has been removed. There's no need for an earthly temple. But we have a reality of entering the presence of God through the blood of Jesus. He's made a way for us to come. For all who believe, we can come and enter God's presence. And so we see really... And let's just read a bit further down. Oh, Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. So the blessing of being in God's presence should be a reality and should result of ever eternal praise. Praise. You know what praise is? It's telling somebody that they're great, that they're doing well, that they are awesome. When you praise somebody, you big them up. But when we praise the Lord, we're actually praising him about how great God is, how amazing he is to us, how good he is. I praise you for your faithfulness. I praise you for your love. I praise you that you are my Savior. I praise you that you're more than enough. I praise you that you're my deliverer. You're my rock. I praise you that you live in me. I praise you because you're good. I give praise. And it's something that we're all called to do. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. It's a blessed relationship that we have with the Lord. God blesses those who live in his presence and enjoy his presence. There's a blessing that comes on our lives when we're hungry for God and worship and praise him. Now, verse 5, let's just home in on this, because I believe this is exactly where God has us at the moment and where he wants to take us. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. What a wonderful picture of the blessing of those who find that their strength is in God alone. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. Our hearts are not just set on miracles. They're not just set on answers. Our hearts are set on Jesus and following him all the days of our lives. Some people get so messed up to think that they just need a miracle to be praising the Lord. And we have more than enough to praise him for because of what he has already done for us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so we have this blessed life. And God looks for a heart response from each one of us. And it's something that you and I need to constantly do, is set our hearts on Jesus. Set our focuses on him. It's one thing to say, well, I am a Christian. I believe all the promises. But it's another to say my heart is fully set on following Jesus. That's the motivation of my life. I love him and I want to pursue him. I want to know him. I want to press on to know him and meet with him. And this kind of person is the one that passes through a valley of Baca to make it a place of springs. It's someone who's got their heart set on Jesus. Someone whose focus isn't just on what God does, but who he is. And trusting him with what he does. Living a life of trust and dependence. But it's having this focus on him. They become world changers. They make a valley of Baca a place of springs, and the autumn rains come and fill it. Now, what's the scripture mean when it's talking about a valley of Baca? This was a valley that was en route. You had to pass through it to get to Jerusalem. So pilgrims would come up to worship in Jerusalem in the temple, and they would have to go through this valley that was very dry. It was known to be a place of trouble. It was a place of weeping. It was a very dry and barren place. And that really speaks of the world without God. Wherever God isn't, there is dryness, there's barrenness, there's trouble. And even in the life of a believer, we go through circumstances which are difficult. And we have disappointments in our pilgrimage as we go on a journey with Jesus. Things happen that we never thought would happen. We hit up against trials and circumstances that aren't perfect. And I believe we need to understand that the faith message, the message of walking by faith, in all the promises of God and setting our hearts to follow Jesus, will not always necessarily mean that your circumstances are perfect. It won't always mean that you don't hit a tough spot or have a trouble around or disappointments. I think one of the most important things that we need to do is to learn how to handle disappointments on our journey to seeing the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Not just going to heaven, but our goal, as we were hearing last week, is to press on to lay hold of everything that Christ has laid hold of us for. In other words, we're all here to bring a move of God into the earth. We're here to see heaven transform this world. He said, pray it. He said, declare it. He said, bring it. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Bring the goodness of God, the power of God into the earth. And it doesn't mean in this world you won't have trouble. Jesus said you would. But he said, be of good cheer, be happy. Because I've taken the power out of the devil. He no longer has authority over you because you belong to me. I've actually overcome the world. I've overcome sin. I've overcome the devil. I've made you more than a conqueror. So that in this circumstance that you might be facing, you're a winner because you've got God in you. And so the valley of Baca can represent anything in our lives which are circumstances that don't match up with what we know God wants to do. And if you know the will of God, sometimes it's totally contrary to what we see in our circumstances. Around us, it doesn't look like we're getting the answers. And this scripture for me is so important because it's these people passing through a difficult, dry, the conditions are not easy. Your boss might be the worst boss to work for. Your marriage might be the worst marriage you've ever heard about. Your circumstances might be, my goodness me, I don't have a job, I haven't got the money. But these kinds of people actually see springs and rain which are both symbols of the Holy Spirit. Whenever Scripture speaks about rain or springs, he is speaking, the Lord is speaking about the Holy Spirit, about God himself, seeing God transform the place that you're in. And not only transform the place you're in, so you become someone who's completely different, but that rains come and outpouring of the Spirit happens so that those around you get changed because of the move of God through you. The Holy Spirit through you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, who set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through this valley, they make it a place of springs. This is the potential for every believer. Everyone this morning who has Christ in them has the Holy Spirit living in them. Jesus said, I'm going away, but those who believe in me, they will receive the Spirit of Christ. He will be with you and be in you. And so the Holy Spirit is what is God in us today, the Spirit of Christ. And Jesus said, when he comes, he'll teach you. He'll be the power of your life, the ability, the comforter, the helper. But he will also be the one who will be like a spring welling up to eternal life. Just turn to John chapter 4. We'll see what Jesus said about these springs. John chapter 4. You see, I am fully convinced that whatever situation we are in now, we have the power to see a move of God and transformation through. Because it's not by might or by power or self-effort or human ability or because you're ticking all the boxes, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is more than enough in you. Can I say that God is more than enough for you? I know that that can be easily agreed with, but in our experience, he needs to be more than enough. He needs to be the one who satisfies every part of my life, because that's what he wants to be. He wants to be God, and he wants to say, you shall have no idols before me. In other words, no other things that you're going after or dependent on, because he wants to totally be our God. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 10, he's speaking to the woman at the well, and he's speaking to someone who's kind of outside the covenant as a Samaritan. And he's speaking about water. She's wanting natural water. He's speaking about living water, the Holy Spirit. And verse 10, Jesus answered this woman, because Jesus had asked, he'd asked her for a drink. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Isn't that interesting? Jesus says to the woman, give me a drink at the well. And then he says, if you would have asked me, I'd have given you living water. And Jesus is using a play on words, really. The water that is necessary for everybody to live, humanly speaking. Without water, no one can live. But he's now speaking about spiritual water, living water. He's talking about the life, the eternal life of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 13, he says, everyone who drinks this water naturally will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him. Say in him. The water I give will become in him, in a person, It's so important that we read Scripture correctly and have our doctrines according to Scripture. Because many people are looking to the heavens for God to move. And God said, the Holy Spirit's in you, and that water will spring up from within you. See, when you got born again, when you received Jesus, God took the heart of stone out. He put a new spirit in you. He gave you a new heart. And then he said, I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my ways. In other words, you don't just have a new, you're not just a new person. You have his spirit living in you to cause you to walk in his ways. And so when Jesus is speaking to this woman, he said, ask me and I will give you living water. The life of God will come and you will never be thirsty. In other words, he is more than enough. And he will become in you a spring of water welling up to eternal life. A spring. Think about naturally a spring. A spring seems to come from nowhere. And it comes up from the ground, doesn't it? From the, you can't see the source. But it starts to bubble up and it comes up and it starts to release life, really. And Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit, how we need the Holy Spirit to continually spring up in us. Otherwise, we get a little bit dry and kind of natural. Let me tell you, we all need the Holy Spirit to bubble up every day. We need the renewing, day by day renewal of the Holy Spirit, bubbling up, springing up to eternal life. That's why it's so important that we understand that how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to see a fresh spring come up and not just a, Lord, you've done everything and I'll just leave it to you. We need to see that there's a constant flow, upflow of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives. Now, how do we get this spring flowing? I think that's an important question. Ephesians, let's just look at Ephesians chapter 5. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's a lot warmer in here today. Ephesians chapter 5. When I love to go walking on Dartmoor, and I love to see on Dartmoor, there's so many rivers and streams. You just, wherever you walk, there's water everywhere. It just comes, seems to come out of nowhere. And sometimes if you're on a really high hill, you'll see a spring, a start of a spring come through the mountainside. And it always, to me, speaks of God's always wanting to flow to us and through us. He's always wanting to transform us and the world around us by his spirit. And we need to think in these pictures about our own spirits. You need to think this morning about your spirit, not just the theory of the scripture, but is your spirit springing up with the Holy Spirit? Is there life coming up this morning? Rather than, oh, what a nice message. But is this a living reality in my spirit today? And in Ephesians 5, verse 18, the Word of God says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, don't get your highs on alcohol. Because you'll get out of control and you'll do things that don't please God. And anyway, it doesn't please God that you get drunk. Drunkenness is one of the things that the scripture warns us against. But the Lord is not a party pooper. He's come to give us the best life. So he says, basically, he's better than alcohol. He's better than drugs. I mean, let's be real this morning. If you need to get drunk to be happy, something's wrong. Am I right? And the Lord, he's not here to stop the life. He's here to release the life and give life. And it's the Holy Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing, the Bible says. Your flesh, you won't profit anything by being in your natural self. We need the Holy Spirit. And we need to see a fresh dependency on him to see the fresh life spring up. And so Scripture says, don't do that, but do this. Be filled. Drink a lot of the Holy Spirit, guys. When the Spirit came at Pentecost, they were all baptized in the Spirit, and people thought they were drunk. I had a touch of that on Thursday night. I got the giggles. One of the good signs, if there ever is a good sign, but you know, when people have drunk too much, they can laugh a lot and get giggly. And you know, they just don't care what they look like. They're the friend of everyone. You know, hi, how are you? Don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean in your experience? And Paul is saying, be being filled. Go on being filled. Continue to be topped up or even tanked up on the Holy Spirit. Because if you're full of the Holy Spirit, you won't want the other poor addictions of this age. It's time for us to be so filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like, I don't need another high. I've got a permanent high. Taste and see the Lord is good. You don't get a hangover. You don't get liver disease. You don't get broken marriages. You don't get kids that are in the middle of divorce because of the issues of alcohol. We get a freedom that ends up in good fruit. It's time to change our ways and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Go on being filled with the Holy Spirit, it says. Speaking to yourselves or speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. There we are. If you're drunk, you sing a lot. Filled with the Holy Spirit actually causes a different effect on your singing. Doesn't it, church? If you're not singing very much, it's time to get filled. Anybody not been singing this week? You need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because the fruit of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking to one another in psalms. In other words, full of the Word of God, coming out with the Scriptures. And hymns and spiritual songs, you can bring out the old and the new. I like some of the old. And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's blood? You know that one. But I like the new ones. God, I look to you. And I will love you, Lord, my strength. But I sing it when I'm full of the Spirit. But when I'm full of problems, it's amazing how the song leaves my life. And God has intended, in the valley of Baca, we have a song. That we understand there is a well and there is a river that makes glad the city of God, where God dwells. That there is a river of life. There is a spring that is soul transforming and trouble changing. But it begins with this acknowledgement of being filled and starting to speak in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, not the latest song in the charts. A song to the Lord, singing to the Lord. It's good, isn't it? Do we want a move of God, don't we? Well, first of all, we need a move of God in us. It's like the scripture speaks here of a spring first and then the rains, the outpouring. So in other words, be filled and then you'll see it happen in the world. Can you see the order of scripture? That if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be a world changer because the Holy Spirit will be poured out on the people around you, bringing transformation. Well, you might say you don't work where I work. Where I'm at is too hard. It's too difficult. The place I'm from, it's impossible to see a move of God. And all we do is confess the negative rather than say the answer is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to sing a lot to the Lord. Sing, 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 sing. Speak the word. Declare the word. Proclaim the promises and then sing. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah 54, in fact, we're going to read there. Let's just crack on to Isaiah 54 quickly. And then we're going to sing. Some people say there's something uniquely wrong with me. I can't see this happen in my personal experience. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, be empty of yourself. In fact, tears of self-pity, full of self, equals not filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled, empty yourself before him, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah 54, sing, O barren woman. Hang on, it sounds a bit like the Valley of Baca. This is somebody who is not seeing life happen. Hasn't seen fruit. You who never bore a child. You haven't produced. Has anybody in this room not seen what God has said in his word you can have? Has anybody ever seen, has somebody in this room seen that there's a barrenness in your life in a particular area? I have to say, I'm going for things that I heard the Lord 20 years ago that I will experience and I haven't seen it yet. So in other words, I'm still barren in that area. What does he say? Start singing. Those who are filled with the Spirit sing and stand in a place of barrenness and trouble and transform it with his presence. Because when we sing and praise him, we're acknowledging his presence. We're trusting him. Actually, praising him is an expression of trust. It's an expression of faith to praise the Lord in difficult times, isn't it? Sing, burst into song, and then scripture goes, it's a radical thing to be a believer. Shout for joy when you haven't got any fruit. You haven't seen people saved, you haven't seen them healed, you haven't seen what you believed happened with your family, you haven't seen this, that, and the other. Sing. Shout for joy. It doesn't say go for counseling. Start to apply your faith because the scripture says more are the children of the desolate woman than her of who has a husband. So in other words, there's more fruit for those who are living in the power of what God can do, not in their own efforts or in the past failures. So in a place of barrenness, sing and shout for joy. I think this could speak to everybody here this morning. I don't think there's one person in this room that has yet seen what God has promised. You may be even living with the disappointment of things not happening. But God says, sing anyway. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and start to shout for joy. Because the Lord is able to do more than what you see around you, where people seem to have fruit. God says, I can do a lot more fruit with somebody who knows that they can't produce it, but that I can. Hallelujah. It's a sacrifice to sing from an empty place. It's a sacrifice to sing when you're hurting. When it looks like everybody else is getting their answers and you're not. It's a sacrifice to keep singing still after 20 years. And to be full of joy in the process rather than just, I'll bring a sacrifice of praise because I'm supposed to. But being filled with joy singing. Not because it's just law, because there's grace for those who do the word. When you apply your will and begin to praise him, the grace of the Spirit comes in and you get filled with his joy. And his joy is far greater than any earthly joy. And don't try and understand him. Don't ask all the questions. Why am I in this barren place? What happened to get me here? Too many questions equals self-analysis and unbelief. It's time to sing and shout for joy because the Lord, he is God. And he is our Savior, our rock, our Redeemer. We've got a lot to shout about. Now, just finally, Acts chapter 16. Here we have a New Testament reality example of somebody going through a bit of a Baca, Valley of Baca time. And how they, in their trouble and need, started a move of God that brought salvation to the world. Come on, this is where we're going, church. This is us. This is who we are as Kingdom Faith Southwest. I declare it. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Springing up and living in the life of God. And then causing God to move and transform the world around us. So that people come to Christ. A move of God so people come to Christ. Get saved. Well, I know that the Lord is happy about that. I trust we will be happier by the end of it. But it's really the importance of the Holy Spirit is seen here. Right. What happened here was Paul and Silas, in following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, went to preach the gospel in Macedonia. They saw some success with a woman called Lydia, who got saved, came to Christ through Paul's preaching. And her house, her whole house was saved. So Paul actually had started a church by just going on to preach the gospel. Now, after he started this church, it's like it stirred up the enemy. And there was this slave girl who had a spirit of divination. And this spirit is like it squeezes the life. It's like a python. It's a demonic power that squeezes the life out of often leaders, tries to, or Christians who are on a mission. So the devil tries to stop. And she begins to cry out and follow Paul everywhere. And after a while, Paul got absolutely fed up with this, turned around and said, in the name of Jesus, I command you, come out. So in other words, the power under which that woman was operating left this woman. Now, there was a big business behind this fortune telling. Because this demon used to give information to this slave girl and make it attractive to the people of that region to come and pay to have their fortune told. As there are fortune tellers here today, aren't there, around us. And we've got authority in the name of Jesus to deliver those people from the power of Satan. And this caused a bit of a problem because what happened was these people who had this slave girl working for them no longer had power to get money. So money was actually the issue. They lost their income because a woman got set free. We'll have that, won't we, in Taunton? Drugs, prostitution, people will lose their income because people are going to get set free. Because they're all money-making machine things, aren't they? They're behind it is the spirit of this age that wants to make money. Yeah. and rob people in every which way. And that's the devil's work. God's work is to save people and set them free into a good life, a life that's blessed. So they got stirred up. They eventually beat them up, had them flogged, and threw them into prison for doing the will of God. They were passing through the valley of Baca, making it a place of springs. There was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, people getting saved, people getting delivered. Then they were flogged and thrown into prison. That's an interesting one in the journey on the way to heaven, isn't it? Here we go, verse 23. After they'd been severely flogged, I don't know what that means to you, not just flogged. Just think about that, severely flogged. Do you not think that's a little bit of suffering? For the gospel, for doing the right thing. They were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. And upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once the prison doors flew open, everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. Looking forward to that day, are you? Where people fall at our feet and say, "What must I do to be saved?" Because they've seen such the power of God through our lives. That they go, "I want to know. I'm in awe of this God. Who is he? What must I do to be saved?" And he and his whole household were saved. But let's think about this in making this difficult place a place of springs first. And then let's talk about the rain. Paul and Silas are in prison with other prisoners. Everybody else is going through a hard time. Some of them of their own making. And these two because they did the will of God. But they're all in a very dark, horrible place. Paul and Silas have been freshly flogged, and so therefore their body is very, very sore. And because they're needing to lock down these two men, they say, "Let's put them in stocks and in the inner prison." So in a place which is very dark, impossible to get out of, and hurting and in pain, they are there together. Now, this is a valley of Baca. This is trouble. They are in a place of trouble, suffering, possibly a few questions going through their mind. "Lord, I thought you were going to protect me from all of this. I didn't think it would be as bad as this, being a follower of Jesus and somebody who preached the gospel." Goodness me, we need to get some backbone in the church, don't we? Where actually we are understanding that there is a price to preach the gospel. And some of us get offended and leave a church because somebody didn't talk to us. I mean, really? The gospel, the reality. And these guys are on the edge. They're advancing the kingdom, but they're in a very, very nasty place. I think, this is my interpretation of this about midnight. I think before midnight, Paul would have said to Silas, "I can't see you because it's that dark in here. Are you all right, mate? Where does it hurt? All over. I don't know if I'll get out of this alive." And I didn't think it would ever be as dark and as difficult as this. Paul, being kind of the apostle, the front runner, said, "I'm feeling the same. It's not that I don't feel the same, but the Lord has told me that in everything I need to give thanks and to pray continually." So let's start to pray. First of all, let's forgive those who put us there, here. Some of us are in prison because people put us there. And the beginning of getting out is forgiveness. And so, I'm sorry, Lord. I forgive them. Not I'm sorry, but I forgive those who have put me here, Lord. Come on, Silas. He'd have encouraged him, a younger man in the Lord. You need to forgive. If we're going to see the power of God in this situation, even just the grace to live, we need to forgive. And so, they'd have gone through what you and I go through when we're beaten up in different ways. I forgive them. What right have I got to hold unforgiveness against anyone when Jesus died for me and my sins? I was never right, and he saved me. And so they would have gone through their little time of saying sorry and forgiving them. And then they'd have said, Lord, we rejoice that we're saved, even if we die in here. Thank you, we're going to glory. I haven't got eternal hell facing me. I've got eternal heaven. So actually, it's a short trip from here to go to heaven. This is my imagination, but I think it could be quite accurate. Meanwhile, he's saying, oh, my feet hurt because I'm in the stocks. And I can't move properly. Then, Paul says, let's pray for the prisoners in here. I've been called to preach the gospel. Let's preach the gospel in prison. Not pray to get out. This is a crowd who are listening. So they begin to say, Lord, thank you that you've saved us and you want to save everybody in this prison. Thank you, Lord, you want them to know you. And thank you, Lord, that woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. And so they begin to pray. They pray, Lord, we trust you with our lives. We don't know our future, but you do. So we put our dependence on you. And they begin to praise the Lord. They begin to sing. Because they began to pray and sing at midnight. See, I think it's the turn of a new day. You want to turn your days around? You want to leave one day that's negative behind and begin a new day? Midnight is the start of a new day. Come on. A start of a new day of being filled with the Holy Spirit. How? By starting to pray and give thanks and praise. Sing a new song. And the thing about this is the prisoners were listening. They were captive audience, I admit. And it's always good to have a captive audience because many people run away from the message. But these guys, they began to hear. And what did they hear? I don't know. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And then Paul Silas would say, let's get a happier one. Let's sing. Let's do an upbeat one. What were they doing on Sunday? Oh, happy day, when he washed my sin away. Oh, and Paul's going on the stocks, happy day. He's doing a Sam, wash my sin away. Oh, and Silas starts with the tambourine chains. Happy day, and the prisoners are listening to two men who've been as beaten up and badly treated as they have. But they found a spring that has changed them. There is a spring of life that can change you. That you are free even if you're a prisoner. This is the goal of the Holy Spirit, that you are free. Not just your circumstances, you. Because if you're free in the Spirit, the Holy, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Spring up, Holy Spirit. Let me sing a new song to the Lord. Shout for joy, O barren woman. Come on, let's praise him. Let's declare that he is great. Let's have a new day in the life of the Holy Spirit. And you know, this is real. It's not just a story. This is to be your experience. Some people struggle with their emotions. They say, I don't know, what do I feel down? Well, do you think they might have felt a bit down naturally? What is the solution for down? Spring up, Holy Spirit. Heal my emotions. Fill me with your joy and peace. I totally believe that every believer in this room has the power to live in unfathomable, inexplainable joy in trouble. And I want to raise the bar on your experience with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to give you water that will well up and continually be fresh, so that in your experience, your emotions stay influenced by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that you will be free, even though your circumstances aren't yet. Is anybody hearing the word of the Lord? There's a word from God here today. And I tell you what, I have noticed that people aren't free if they don't absolutely begin to shout and praise the Lord. People who stay quiet in worship don't experience freedom. Sorry, shout aloud and praise him. The prisoners heard them singing. Now, can I say that it's easy to do that in church? But this is in a prison. It's not so easy to sing at work. Praise him, praise him, let all the peoples praise him, as you're walking down the corridor. And yet, it's creating an atmosphere, it's drawing the presence of the Lord. And you know, not only did the prisoners hear this song, God heard. How do we know he heard? He sent an earthquake. Not to destroy everyone, but to deliver people from their chains. So he didn't say, right, Paul and Silas are at a bad deal. Let's kill that lot. Let's kill that lot with an earthquake. That's not God. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. He sent an earthquake that set the prisoners free. The guilty were freed. Sounds like the gospel, doesn't it? Even the guilty got freed that day. Amazing, isn't it? And God doesn't just send an earthquake. The whole foundations of the prison were shaken. The prison doors flew open. Everyone's chains fell off. And then the jailer gets saved. Somebody gets saved because of the trouble that happened to two men who started a move of God by praying and singing. The spring started in them. They got freed up. They began to, in reality, I can imagine them so full of the Holy Spirit that they'd almost been drunk. Yeah, Paul, how about this one? This is a really good one. I can just see them so full of God, they didn't hurt anymore. Have you ever been so full of God, you don't hurt anymore? It's a wonderful experience in the Holy Spirit. And it happens through, first of all, applying a sacrifice of praise. In other words, it costs you something to start praising him. It costs you something to shout aloud. Shout for joy in your barrenness, in your difficult time. But then after that, God moved in the world. Somebody got saved. They actually had such an experience of God, a visitation, that they fell down and said, what must I do to be saved? Not Paul saying, what must we do to get them saved? Whoa!
what have we got to do to get them saved?
Try being filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing a lot and praying. And God, not only does the spring come up, the autumn rains, the late rains, the autumn rains were to actually ripen the harvest. That's what autumn rains do. They ripen the harvest. Talk about the harvest is ripe that day. What must I do to be saved? They made it a place where God moved. How about your workplace? How about where you're from? How about where you live, the people you live with? How about your personal life? We are here to change the world with a move of God. Lord, fill us personally so that the springs will really transform me to change the whole world. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains cover it. It's time to not be miserable. It's time to not complain as to why you're where you are, or to blame or attack those who put you there. It's time to be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and allowing God to move through us to change the world. Let's stand.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log on to our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.